Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Welcome to the Hour of Prayer Power. Well, it's an hour for now. We are back live in Tulsa with Dr. Paula Price. She is here, ready to hear your requests. To give us an exhortation, I'm sure, that word in season from the Lord on exactly where we are, where we need to be. Maybe get us a little bit unstuck. I don't know about you, but I find myself getting a little stuck in life. And after every week, every prayer session, unstuck. So, Dr. Price, welcome to your show.
Wow, wonderful. Well, I'm kind of liking the changes. I think I'm going to fall in love with the new management there in the production area. I like that. I'm excited about being here. Again, I would say to every one of you who have called in to listen in today, this is my favorite time. When I'm connected with you all and we're sharing and talking, and I get an opportunity to bless you with what the Lord has deposited in me for his body over the years, over the 3+ decades that I have served him. I'm thrilled because that's what makes it all worthwhile. That is what makes it purposeful in my life. So I'm excited about that. We're going to, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some changes that you will appreciate. One of them is being we're going to extend our time, and so you'll be getting notifications of that so we can get more calls in and I can touch more of you on the line. I want you to have hope in your heart when you're calling, but knowing that God is going to answer. So he's been talking to me about extending the time. We'll do it gradually. Go to our website. You'll find out how that's going to happen, and you'll also find out how you can participate in helping us do this thing successfully. You'll also find out other places that I am broadcasting in different capacities, different ways around the country. So don't forget to do that. Always check the website and always check your email. Make sure that we have your correct email. Because this is more than me notifying you. I'm excited about you, but I really feel connected with you. Some of you all, we've been on this journey since the first time I started doing this. And, you know, from time to time, you'd reconnect, or either some of you never miss a week. So I say, hey, hallelujah, we are becoming a powerful team and a force. One of the things that I want to talk to you about today is the Word of God, you know. At this point, Christianity is, none of us can argue, is under extreme attack. I want to go so far as to say excruciating attack. Interesting thing about excruciating is that it's, you know, the crucifix, that middle part, cross. The cross is being assaulted. The cross of Jesus Christ, the trial of Jesus Christ, the truth of his word, all of that is being assaulted. I've been saying around the world, really, as I travel, for those of us who kind of wonder if this is God's faith, if this is the true faith or not, think about this. Who else do they assault more than anyone else? You realize that the Buddhists, they get encouraged, you know, the Hindus, the Taoists, the Dalai Lama gets uplifted, you got the Muslims. But when it comes to Christianity, why does it strike terror and fear in the hearts of those who do not know our Savior? What is it about Christianity that the subconscious soul of all humanity discerns that makes it terrified? I believe that our Savior was right when, you know, he encouraged them to write that the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, that the name of Jesus Christ is the rock of offense and the stumbling stone. I mean, even right now, and I know a lot of you are excited about the fact that we're doing all of these Bible shows and all of these Christian, you know, let's get back to the word. And listen, I applaud the effort. But, you know, to the pure, all things are pure. But But to the sinning and defiled, nothing is pure. You recognize that that is fine, and God is using that. We do not want them to stop. We want to encourage them and celebrate them. But those of us who have walked with Jesus and who have been in the Word and have been in His Holy Spirit know that there are some edits and excerpts in the, or I want to say exclusions is a better word, in those productions that only we know. So I appreciate them doing it because it gives us an opportunity to say, you know, that was a great show, that was wonderful, but let me tell you where they kind of missed it in this and where this is not exactly scriptural or whatever. And so I would encourage none of you to disparage it. Don't criticize it, but seize it. Look at them. Look at the errors. Get in your Word. Get in your Bible, and let's start using that as some good table talk when we sit down with other people. Good conversation, because God is getting His Word out, and He said that His Son's name and this gospel will be preached to all nations before the end comes. And here's the point. We used to wonder, let's say 25, 30 years ago, how is that going to happen before the new internet became so pervasive? How is it that God was going to preach His gospel to all nations? But think about this. Today with the internet, He can do it. And with media, He can do it. People are watching these programs on their phones, etc. But recognize that we who are filled with the Spirit of Christ, because that's often the missing factor in these productions, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who has not left the planet, who is still here watching over God's Word to perform it and seeing to it that the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to this world. Those of us who are filled with the Spirit of Christ know where there have been some compromises and some variations of truth. And so we get an opportunity now to preach this gospel like we haven't been able to preach it before and to have people have some sort of baseline knowledge of what we're talking about. So I'm thrilled about that. But don't kid yourself. This is not all to the glory of God for that purpose. There's a lot of confusion, but there's also a lot of wrenching the Word of God and wrenching the Scriptures and the truth of Christ from the minds and the soul of the vessels of truth. We have to remember that over the last several decades, many churches ceased preaching the Bible. Now, God is showing us. He's really showing us up. He's really saying, okay, so you guys won't do it? I'll get somebody who will do it for me. And if they don't do it right, don't complain to me because I gave it to you. The church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of truth. Let's get back to knowing the Word of God, and let's get back to knowing it the way God wrote it. And I'm going to end this discussion on a thought that I want you to remember, and I say this often, so if you hear me repeat it again and again, it's okay. It's part of what I do. The Scriptures are being, you know, we're modifying it. We've got the Message, the Word, the Sword, the Cloud, the Dove, the whatever kind of version. You know, we got pinstripe Scriptures and all of those kinds of things so that everybody can feel as if it was personally written to them. And that's okay if that's what they do. But understand this. There is a reason why the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of Gods chose to wrap it up in that medieval era where monarchies were still prevalent. There's a reason why He chose that. For all of the arguments against the scholarship of the King James Version and the academia of those who wrote it, against all of those arguments, I want to give you a thought that you will find very useful in the pursuit of your faith, and that is God needed a king to write about a king. He needed kings to write about a king because while we are democratic and all of these other political structures on earth, no judgment against them right now, for or against, the eternal world is based on a king. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's a sovereign. And so God chose someone who was living and working in that realm, that sphere of His creation, to see to it that what He wanted us to understand about His Son was accurate. God's a king. He also wanted us to understand what it is to be a citizen under a king. An active king, not the figureheads that we have today, but kings whose word were law and kings whose word could not be null and void, who couldn't change their mind even under the worst political pressure. Case in point is Darius. Man, when Darius realized that they had tricked him into condemning his prophet, the prophet Daniel, and his friend to death, he was troubled, and he stayed up all night, but he couldn't change his mind because the law of the Medes and Persians could not be changed. God wanted us to understand the irrevocability of Christ's words and his works and what he did. So he chose a king to choose the words that a king would use and to write from the mind of a king. And while I am all for these softer translations, and they're going to help the newcomers and the novices wrap their head around the Lord Jesus Christ, let me say this to you. Those of us who are mature, we need to start talking about how eternity is structured and based on a king, and a king who has final say, uncontested sway, who decrees who shall live and who shall die. We need to know that, because that's something that this era, the year 2013, doesn't know about. We know about voting our leaders in, and we know about voting them out. We know about shaming them out of office. We know about demonstrating them out of office. We know about criticizing them out of office and mocking and ridicule. During the days that kings reigned, monarchs reigned, you did not have that latitude. So there's a good balance for it on earth. But understand, this is not the institution that you are giving your life for. This is not the institution that you're going to spend eternity with. We need the word of God, and we need it written correctly. We need the leaders to teach it with the mind and heart of a king, or someone who has interacted with a sovereign king, an indomitable king, a king whose kingdom will never fail, whose word cannot be reversed, whose works cannot be overturned. That is what God wants us to understand. So the attack that's on Scripture is based on that. I wanted to give you that phrase, that word today, because I encourage every one of us who are entrusted with this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every one of us who are entrusted with developing his people, his body, for their eternal existence, their eternal citizenship with him, to appreciate why God chose the King James, and why some of you can't get away from it, because some of you are called to be that level in Christ, that level in his eternal kingdom. And so you want to know how to deal with the mind of a king and how to deal with the king. You're not interested in trying to find out how to overthrow the Christ and how to overthrow his position. You're interested in genuinely knowing, how is this man going to run his kingdom, and how am I going to adopt his ways and adapt my ways to conform to him? And so I want you to do it. We're going to talk about that again in the future in some different shows. I intend to use some of these Thursdays for real open panel, open discussion. So, you know, let me know what you think about that idea. I'm interested in that, because as I enlarge it, there'll be a lot more that we can do and a few more things that we can engage in. However, I've shared what I wanted to share. Now I'm going to open it up for calls. So, Ashley, are you there?
I am here. And guess who we have on the call today? We have an old faithful returning. This is your girl, Nikki, from Maryland. We have heard from Nikki and SC, and she was shocked we remembered who she was. But Nikki's on the line. She is asking for prayer for the gift of interpretation. She's getting a whole lot of dreams from God and, quite frankly, has no idea what they mean.
I understand that feeling. Hallelujah.
So, Nikki, you are on with Dr. Price.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful, Nikki. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Great. Have you been keeping busy in the Lord?
I've been reading and things like that, and trying to figure out what he's doing with me in this season, and I really just don't understand. I really don't, and I just want to, you know, understand what he's doing and what he's trying to say to me with all these dreams and things like that.
Well, I understand. Well, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, do you have my prophet's dictionary?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm sure you've been looking through there for some of those signs and symbols. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and now do you have a prophetic mentor or a mentor who is able to help you with some prophetic matters like that?
I do, but she's also learning with me.
Okay. So but she's not really a mentor. She's a colleague. She's a peer.
Okay. Well, she knows a lot, though. But
I'm going to leave that one alone. We're going to move on to the next subject here, okay?
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to leave it alone. You know, God, goodness knows I'm all stuck now. I want to tell you something. A mentor is supposed to be at least 2 to 4 years ahead of you in knowledge, experience, and expertise.
Okay.
2 to 4 years. So if you're supposed to, if you're side by side, that's a classmate. That's a peer. That's not a mentor. It's because somebody knows one or two things more than you do. They've not made them a mentor. They need to take you where they have been and to help you get where God wants you to go. So, you know, it's wonderful to have mentors, but sometimes we need to know the difference between a mentor and a tutor. And some of us, what we're calling mentors in our lives, really are relating to tutors. They're tutoring us in certain areas of the Word of God or of the Lord and His kingdom that we don't know anything about. But there's no way in the world you can have a mentor who isn't seasoned. And a mentor ought to be at least 10 years older than you. And they need to be at least 4 to 5 years older than you in knowledge, just in the information that they're dealing with. How are you going to have somebody who's a one-synonym for mentor is parent, mother, or father? Well, you know, we kind of need to have a parent that's a little bit older than us, past those trials and whatever. So, and I just say this to you, but I'm also putting it out to everybody who's on the call today. Your mentor needs to be no less than 10 years older than you because it takes 10 years to be considered an expert in anything. And that's 10 years of working it day and night around the clock. So if you have a mentor and a covering and whatever who's, like, not ahead of you in that, and if they're not ahead of you that way chronologically, you need to make sure that they are ahead of you knowledge academically, scholastically, and professionally. Because otherwise, you have a tutor, and it's okay. You know, your classmates can tutor you, but it's the certified teachers that get to educate you. All right, I just want to say that to you because you seem to be really struggling. First of all, I hear God doing some amazing things with you. You are coming up to a place where God is awakening you to be connected with some sort of a school or trainer or teacher.
Okay.
You are definitely being called into that. So that's the first thing. The Bible says that according to Numbers 12:6, that when God awakens his prophets, and you know, we can go there to Numbers 12:6 if you have your Bible, but if not, I'm going to go there because, well, I'm looking. Hallelujah. But God awakens you with dreams and visions. And so I want to say to you that God is obviously talking to you in that way, but you are going, you're going to need somebody to help you understand. And the gift of interpretation, the way we teach things in God, we teach everything in God like it's magic, you know, like you go to the store and there it is. But the gift of interpretation is no different than any other gift of the Holy Spirit, but it's still an intellectual gift. The gift of interpretation requires three things: knowledge, and it requires experience, but it also requires definition. And a synonym for interpretation is definition. Another term that you would think about is translating. Interpretation means I'm translating something from one language or form to another. And so that's all requires your intellect. It doesn't just require our spirit. It's not just a heart thing, but I just feel. In order for you to accurately interpret anything, you've got to have knowledge of that, which means you've got to be able to read it, you've got to research it, you need some training, maybe some tutorials, because I'm all for prophetic tutorials. I'm for it 100%. But you still need all of that to break through in God. So there is no such thing as a put my hands on you, say a prayer on you, and you are imparted that gift. We impart to you the capacity to learn something or the capacity to grow in something or the capacity to enlarge in it. But the actual development or the actual acquisition of that ability has to come from working. There's nothing that you get from the spirit to the natural that doesn't take work. It's going to take physical work to work physical things out in this physical world. So I'm going to encourage you to go to school because you need to. I want you to take my assessment. You go to drpaulaprice.com, take that assessment if you haven't done so already. When you do, one of my prophet advisors will contact you, and they will talk to you about this, and they will help you make some of the decisions as well as help you understand your assessment results. But going to Numbers 12:6, the Lord says to Moses, about Moses to Miriam and Aaron, he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream." So the first thing God does to let us know that he is dealing with us in a different way and in a more direct way, because dreams are the first point of contact with God in your conscious mind. God is always dealing with us beneath the surface, subconsciously, but dreams are how he's letting you know that he is dealing with you now consciously. And sometimes your dreams are going to be about things you know. Sometimes they're going to be about things you've lived. Sometimes they're going to be about things that you, you know, have been praying about. But other dreams, and I'm talking about prophetic dreams now. I'm not talking about the busy dreams that we have in a day or the processing of your soul or your psyche for some things that you cannot confront in your day life. But I'm talking about now exclusively prophetic dreams, spiritual dreams. Those dreams are God's way of letting you know that he's piercing that veil that once blocked your mind from him. And so he wants you to know he's taking up a new place in your life. And in that new place, he intends to communicate with you directly. And so dreams are part of how you do it. I'm going to do a Thursday on dreams and visions. Not sure when, but we're going to walk through that whole dream and vision thing for you. And when we spend our time, I'll get a chance to do a lot of this with you. But right now, let me just stop here and say to you that dreams are how God awakens prophets. And when he you will dream all your life, but when he starts causing your natural mind, your conscious mind to remember them, he's now etching them in your life. He's ready to bring them out of the invisible world, or his world, into yours. So that's why you're having a lot of them. But in order for you to interpret dreams, you need to understand the symbolism. You need to know what words mean. The first step is a good Bible study program. You have to know the Bible to know what God is saying, because God's word and his authorship of the scripture is how we tap into his language. And it's not just the verbiage of God's language. It's not just the words he uses, but it's also his mindset, his mentality, his personality, his perspectives, his experience, and his testimony. All of that are what you get from his word. And we have led the church at large in many ways to think that it's a magic bullet. We'll just, you know, zing you with some prayer. We'll drop a little oil on you. But God says it's line upon line and precept upon precept. I'm going to pray for you, Nikki, but I want to give you one other passage of scripture to help you understand how God uses dreams and why he uses them. And that is, if you're taking notes, write down Job 33:14. And so, and we're going to go up, and I want you to study this when we're done, Job 33:14-23. Now, I'm going to read this because it's too important, but it's very relevant to what you're talking about. For God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumberings upon the bed, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keeps his soul back from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He also chastens with pain on his bed and multitude of bones. And he goes on and tells you how he does all of this stuff spiritually. But verse 23 is where I want to end it at this point. And it said, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. Whose uprightness? God. So interpretation is not just about our dreams. It's also about what God's mind is on anything. The Lord is apparently interested in bringing you into his mind. Okay. It's clear, and he's rushing you. If it's intense and frequent, he's rushing you. And he's rushing you because he needs you to get to a particular place in him, a place of readiness within a certain time frame. So I'm, again, going to urge you to take that assessment and find out who you are, what God is doing, and where you should be in him. That assessment is not only going to tell you what God has called you to do, it also is going to tell you where you should do it, how ready you are, and then let you know your hindrances as well as your assets for getting it done, finalizing your evaluation with a list of things that you need to focus and target for your development. It's a great tool. It's been used all over the place. We're excited about it. I want you to do that. But interpretation is not magical. It still requires education. If out of everything I said, and you're taking notes, Nikki, write this down, interpretation requires education as well as impartation. I want to say that to you one last time, and we'll pray. Interpretation requires education as well as impartation. Okay. So if we just want to run on impartation, we're never going to get the whole thing.
Okay.
Ready to pray?
Yes.
Are you still on the line? I almost can't hear you.
Oh, yes, I'm on the line.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Then let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for Nikki. Thank you for her growth and maturity. Thank you for the strength that you're putting in her. Now, God, I'm going to ask that you give her mature, seasoned mentors, people who have experience with you beyond just exposure to you. God, I'm asking that you would put her with people who can help her understand these things and to teach her the way in which she should walk in learning you. God, I'm thanking you for putting tools and resources in her hands. But most importantly, God, take the fear and the confusion and the doubt out of her soul and let her know that truly it is God who is calling her, that you have great plans for her and great vision for her. And God, I thank you. I command confusion and I command the frustration that you're feeling is holding you back, that's trying to make you think that there's something wrong. I'm asking God to give you clarity. And I'm asking him to open up your understanding and open up your psyche so that the two sides of you will communicate. But God, even when they do, cause the interpreter that you've chosen to explain your messages to her to appear. And I thank you for doing. And I thank you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Keep me posted, Nikki.
I will.
Okay. Ashley, who's next?
Well, I just have to take advantage of that open door you laid down. I'm going to take a 90-second break to play this quick informational about the standardized ministry assessment. What you were speaking with Nikki about applies to many people on the phone today about finding out who they are, their dominant manifestation gift, supporting, all the things that you were talking about with her and much, much more. So we're going to take this 90 seconds and then come back with Kimberly from Oregon.
Amen.
Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your Ministry Assessment Questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
That's right. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. That's what this is all about. Okay, we are on the line live, Dr. Price, with Kimberly from Oregon. She would like direction for her life. She said, I just need more direction.
Well, hello, Kimberly from Oregon.
Good morning, Dr. Price. I realize that might seem kind of ambiguous, and I'm praying that God will narrow that down.
You're praying that God will narrow it down.
Yes,
hey, listen,
ma'am.
You like to put the man to the test, right? Let me ask you.
Just a little. I mean, I'm not asking for much. Maybe a burning bush. I don't know, something.
I know, and seven choirs of angels. I got it. I'm clear. Here's what I'm thinking. I want to know, you sound like you are a very polished woman. You've been to school quite clearly. You obviously communicate publicly in some fashion. And so I'm thinking, what are you doing now? Are you in the professional sector or are you in ministry?
I am in the professional sector. I also am in ministry.
Mm-hmm. Because
and I can't tell you that I'm actually, I'm sorry?
No, you can't tell me that you're what?
That I feel like I'm more in a holding pattern where I'm at in terms of ministry. Where I'm serving, and of course ministry is serving, but I don't know that I'm not exactly where God would have me to be, but I think I'm in a good holding place. It's almost like a safety net for right now.
And it's a safety net because of the things that you've tried in the past that have frustrated you because you have gone ahead of God. Here's what God is telling you about you. And that is, God says to tell you, number one, do not fear stepping out. You have been like touching the tip of the water. I see your little foot just touch the surface of the water and pull back. Not sure if I'm going to get that deep. Because you are a woman that when you go after something, you are going to take it on. And it's going to be like, you know, you're going to go in all the water. You're not just going to piecemeal here and there. And when God gives you a cause, you're going to take that cause to the end. And that's something that you learned about yourself very early and have gotten burned with it. Well, you would call it burned. God would call it trained. And so the first thing God wants you to do is just forget your past. Forget the things that didn't work and pull out from your experience and your history the things that have helped you and that have strengthened you along the way. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you are called to entrepreneurship. God clearly wants you to not just be locked up in the church. He needs your assets in the kingdom. I see either in the area of, I see media for you. I see also social work, you know, dealing with the community for you because you're at that level. But I also see counseling. Like, you have a capacity for piercing people's hearts and piercing their dark places in a very clear and concise way. And so God is looking for you to do that. You are going to need partnerships for the venture that he wants you to do. And that's why you're in a holding pattern, because the partners have not yet come. God is still working on the people who will share your vision without wrenching it out of your hands. So that part is going to take a little bit more time. But in the interim, God said, but you have, I'm looking in your sphere of life right now, and I see a black notebook, like a three-ring binder, where there's some scratchings. Now, this thing is something that you've done a way back, and it was a combination of what came out of a particular training that you attended. And as the training was going on, you were having visions, and you were getting answers, and then you got it, and then you put it aside. God's going to take you back to that season of your life, and that very class, and he's going to show you that I've been telling you this is what I'm getting you ready for right now. And when you go back, all of a sudden it's going to mushroom. So I'm going to pray for God to reconnect, because you have been, you know, some people are on an integrated journey with God. You know, one thing leads to another, one thing weaves into something else, another thing builds on it. Not you. You've been on different roadways. It's almost like, okay, God, I'm on this highway, I'm on this highway, I'm on this highway, this highway. And so God tends to deal with you very linearly because he has to get you to buy into what he wants to do. And so he deals with you like that. So you are on track. Some people are like on a network, but you're on the tracks. And so he's telling you now, and I'm getting ready to weave all of this together. Even the friends that you talk to, the male counsel that has been trying to help you off and on over the years, God has all of that is getting ready to come together in a plan for you. And you could not be more ready for it, because your soul right now is more at peace and more receptive to what God wants to do than it has been in a long time.
Yes, ma'am.
So are you ready to go to the next?
Yes, to everything you said.
You're ready to go to the next level. And so this is what God wants you to do. He wants you to set aside some time. Find that notebook, that whatever it is, and I don't know how many years back. It looks like it was a good little bit of time back. But find that notebook and pull it out, and God's going to have you revisit those things that he told you, because he sparked vision in your heart that day. And, I mean, you were good to go. But what we don't understand about God, and I had to learn it the hard way, is sometimes God says in moments, he means to take decades to accomplish. But now, because there are pieces in our development and pieces in our knowledge and our experience and expertise that have to be filled in, and that's what God is going to do for you. You're getting ready to get that connection. All of those jobs, those little projects, those little errands that you used to run on for God, and those little things that looked like they were going to turn into the big thing. I mean, I see you flurrying around knowing that this was going to be the thing, the thing, the thing, and it wasn't. And so that frustration begins to temper our enthusiasm over the years. But God is saying, I'm going to gather it all together for you right now. And he said, I'm bringing you into divine purpose. And you're going to find out that all of the things that you did were not it, but everything that you learned is what you needed for the it, because you are coming into your it moment in life and your it time in God. So I hear God saying, let me finish my work, but understand I'm going to call the shots. You have a very strong prophetic instinct. I don't know that I pick up that you're a prophet as much as you're, because I think you're more apostolic, but you have a very strong prophetic instinct. And that instinct for timing and sensing has grown very acute over the last several years of your life, to the point now that you're going to have to give it its tempering place because it's now overacting in some things that God wants to do. So I just want to pray with you about that. And if you have any other questions, I'll answer your question. But really, what I hear God saying is now I'm ready to pull it all together to make it all make sense.
Okay.
You have any other questions?
Just clarity, and I have been reading your book, The Prophet's Dictionary, and I have been getting training in that arena. And so clarity on being apostolic or the office of the prophet,
more
clarity on that?
I sure can. Here's what I do know. Let me tell you why you're apostolic more than prophetic. Because, number one, you are not only aggressive, but you are one that's going to have boundaries. You're going to have structure. You know, you can't have things going crazy all over because that's going to frustrate you, and then you'll lose your way. You have to have things set out according to a plan. A prophet needs that word. That word triggers some things in a prophet that are just extraordinary. But an apostolic person is going to say, but wait a minute, what about let's do this, let's do that. That prophet is like, God said it, it's out there, I'm ready, I'm good to go, because they know God in the dimension that lets them know when it's go time. Not the apostolic person. That's number one. Number two, let me tell you this. You should finish your prophetic education. And I'm thinking you're probably going to go more along the dimension of an apostolic prophet in the future. And that's a whole different realm of the prophetic. But if you think about John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus got six of his apostles from John. That's an interesting thought. Half of his entire apostleship team he got from John. Jesus himself promoted them from John's prophets to his apostles. And so, because a lot of times when we look at Scripture, we think that, you know, Jesus just went to sleep one night, had a dream, got 12 names, and, you know, he just kind of looked out. No, Jesus deliberately sought those that his father told him would do it. But those people were with John. And you don't realize that until you read all of his texts. And so John did such a great job as a chief prophet of preparing his prophets for the Messiah that even in his absence, they had a clear understanding of who Jesus was. Andrew, Peter, Nathaniel, James, John, they all knew who Jesus was because they had already been in John's prophetic company. And the essence of a prophet is that whole other thing. While we're on the subject, though, I can invite you to my June prophetic forum. I have it every year here in Tulsa. You would appreciate it, and you'll learn a little bit more about the apostolic prophet. For those of you who want to get a deeper appreciation of it, you can call my office and ask for the teachings on the apostolic prophet. But I will say to you, you're in the right place, Kimberly, right now, because you should be training to be a prophet, because an apostle cannot be an effective apostle without understanding the office of the prophet in every fivefold, but particularly the office of the prophet, because it's the prophet that told everybody that the great apostle came. So you're in the right place.
Okay.
Now, have you taken my assessment?
I have not taken the assessment yet. I am going to take that assessment today, though.
I'm glad, because it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out, because clearly God has some great plans for you. I mean, the fact that you want to get it right, you think about it. I want to figure out now which way am I going to go here. You're going to love it. So I'm going to pray for you. Because I always do, and I don't like anyone to leave without prayer. But I want to say that to you that everybody and whoever you are on the line, if you are an apostle and you haven't been studied the prophet, you are operating on half mass, half power, because you cannot do one without the other. Jesus came as a great prophet. It wasn't until Hebrews that we found out that it was emphatically stated that he was the apostle of our faith and profession. But the fact that he ordained all the others as apostles and not prophets tells you he operated in that office, even though he came as a great prophet. So we need to, you know, a lot of cleanup in these areas. We're going to get it done. So at that point, I want to again tell you, mark your calendar. Ashley's going to give you all of the details. I'm sure she has a commercial somewhere going on because she's been kind of setting this up to run that way. But make sure you come if you can. Come in June. Let's talk this thing through, and we can kind of sort some of this out for you. But get your assessment and know that you are walking in the steps that God wants. Father, thank you for Kimberly. Lord, I really thank you for her. I thank you for the journey that she's taken to get you here. And I thank you, God, for the journey that she's getting ready to be on to get to full destiny. And, Lord, I thank you for the steps that you have ordered of her. I see her walking step by step, that you have her on a step-by-step plan, Father God, a systematic plan that she can't even skip a step. She's got to go step by step because you have her on such a tight rope and such a rigid regimen. But, Lord, it's for the great work that you're causing her to do, the great work that she's going to do in the future. So I'm thanking you for giving her answers and giving her clarity. As she takes that assessment, God, the answers are going to begin to come. As she speaks with the advisors, even more answers are going to come. But, God, I thank you that this woman is going to be a strong representative of your righteousness, of your holiness, and of your work and labor in the kingdom. God, I thank you for the kingdom anointing on her life, that she's going to go beyond the reason she first signed up in that class to fulfill destiny. And, Lord, I praise you for putting people around her, even leaders around her, to hear her heart but understand what you're doing. And I thank you for speaking to their hearts concerning her development as she progresses in that which you've ordained her to do. And we bless you for her family, her life, her work, her economy, God. I thank you that you bring all of these in order for her as she obeys your call and submits to your readiness program and your development in the name of Jesus. And we bless you for it, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Price. I look forward to listening more and meeting you.
Me too. So, hey, listen, check me out. I want to meet you, and I'm glad you said that. But please, keep me posted. I'm interested in how this goes for you.
Absolutely. See you next week. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. God bless. Ashley.
Well, since you opened the door, I'm just going to push it all the way open. We're going to take a 30-second break. Listen to this spot about the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, and then I'm going to come back with the specials that we have running this month on registration. So here's this quick 30-second announcement, and then the deal.
Amen.
Do you love listening to Dr. Price live, but wish you could see her in person? Well, we'd like to invite you to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, June 27th through 29th. This dynamic prophetic event goes beyond your typical ministry conference, bringing prophets and prophetic types together to develop, train, equip, and empower. Early bird registration is $99 for individuals and runs through May 15th. For more information or to register online, visit tulsapropheticforum.wordpress.com or call 877-419-1299. We'll see you there.
Okay, so that Tulsa Prophetic Forum is coming up. Now, here's the deal. This is why you want to make sure you're on our email blast list, because Monday, April 15th and Saturday, April 20th, you can buy one, get the second for 50% off. That's a great deal. Your life will never be the same after you come to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. Make sure you go to drpaulaprice.com if you are not signed up on our email blast list, so you get the emails that come out with the announcements. You'll be able to take advantage of that. We have people who are waiting for those deal days to register themselves, their groups, their teams. You can fly. If you can't fly, you can drive if you have a team. There are people who have come from the East Coast and the North and the South, from all over the country in various ways to get here. Dr. Price will also be offering different specials throughout this month and the month of May, so you want to stay tuned in for that. We are very excited about the Tulsa Prophetic Forum this year. Dr. Paula Price will be teaching. Prophet Jonathan Ferguson is coming. Apostle Terry Thompson will be here. Apostle Nona Parker, and the list can go on. And so you want to get plugged in as soon as possible to reserve your spot, get your hotel room and transportation all set up. So we can't wait for that. And now on to the next caller. We have Dr. Price. Claudette is calling from Virginia. And she says, you know what, Dr. Price, I just need prayer. She said the list can go on and on and on, but this is Claudette, and she said, just give me some prayer.
Amen. Y'all like it when people go right to the heart of the matter.
Just pray for me.
How about this, Heather? I want to greet you in the name of the Lord. And let's just get down to why you called. Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Claudette. Lord, I'm asking that every matter in her heart is addressed. God, I thank you, first of all, that you begin to pull back the veil between you and her and let her have that moment, that window, that opportunity of fellowship and communion with you that breaks the seal on all of these obstacles that she's had. God, I come against the stranglehold on her life. I command the spirit that is encircling your soul to loose you and let you go. I break you free from the entanglement and the entwining of darkness that has been stalking you for so many years. God, I thank you for visiting her house, visiting her family, visiting her children, visiting her children's children, her husband, even to the fourth and fifth generation. God, I come against this yoke of bondage on her life. I command you, Satan, to loose this woman of God, this saint of God, and let her go free. Now, God, I thank you that she's going to confess those things that she investigated spiritually that were not of you. I thank you, Lord, that she realizes that there is one God and only one God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, she's not getting in any more of those books. She's not sitting in any more of those sessions. She's not getting in any more of those phone calls. She's not searching anywhere else but you. Lord, she will cease to seek the living among the dead in any way, even conferences and consultation with her friends. God, I thank you that you wash her with the blood of the Lamb. I'm asking that you purge her and make her new and receive her back into your fold in purity and truth. God, I'm thanking you that you put her with good Bible teachers, good mentors, good trainers who are going to show her the good and right way. God, and bring her back under the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in every regard. Now, Lord, everything, every splat on her from sin and hell, I'm asking that you deliver her from it and cause her to come into fullness, that the blessings of God may flow again in her life in Jesus' name. I'm gonna read you a passage, sister, that the Holy Ghost wants you to get. And you know us, we feel what the Holy Ghost likes because, well, that's why we got him. You know?
Yes, ma'am.
We kind of like him like that. So I want us to go with me to Acts 26:18. 26:18. Acts 26:18. Because somewhere along the line, you and God have had a tete-a-tete. So we're going to go to Acts 26:18, because this is what God is going to do in your wonderful and blessed life. And you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Let me get to it. Acts 26. Can I get to the 18 part? Because you're going to love it. This is going to help you, because I'm going to tell you something that the Holy Spirit wants you to get, that there is no God but Jesus Christ. And I don't care what anybody says or how they try to make it, couch it out. You know, you are serving the true and living God. Sometimes relationships, sometimes dinner, sometimes conversation, sometimes a phone call, sometimes an internet. Sometimes it's so easy today for the enemy to worm his way in and begin to try to twist us from God. But this is what God wants you to do, not only in your life, but he wants you to learn how to do in the life of his people, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That is where the church is today. And that is why the church needs apostles, because this is Paul's apostolic commission and apostolic call. That's why they need apostles and prophets. God says to tell you, get back in your word, study your Bible, put all that other stuff aside, all of that Barnes and Noble stuff that you done visited and picked up. No, you're not going to learn spirituality from anybody but the Spirit of the living God, because that's who you belong to. So everybody doesn't have those answers. And today, a lot of Christians are mixed up. There's a lot of spiritual impurity in the body of Christ right now, that they try to give credence to anything immaterial, anything ethereal, anything spiritual, anything that is otherworldly. But God said to tell you, get back in the Word, and only the Word for you right now.
And this is so funny because I'm getting ready. I say it's so funny because I'm getting ready to graduate my master's in theology. And it's like the closer I get to it, the more stuff is happening. And I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and understand, theology is not going to necessarily put you in the Bible, because theology and the Bible often clash, and that's part of what your issue is. So you're going to have to finish your graduation, because we want you to finish what you start. Finish that graduation.
May 10th, I got May 11th, yeah.
Okay, then I want you to get back in the scriptures, because where you are, you just got a lot of mixed dreams going on there, and they have unsettled your faith in some serious ways, because the validity of darkness's arguments and logic can sometimes begin to undermine the truth of the gospel. Because
right.
there are things that are valid for this world that don't mean a thing to God. And so
right.
where you are, my beloved, and that's the confusion, and you feel like you open your mind to every kind of thing, but in many ways, if you don't have a strong guard, a strong intercessor's crew, a strong prophet or something like that, you also open your life to that.
Right.
So I'm praying for you to get some good guards and some new guards. So finish your go on and get your degree. You can put in the time. God is able to keep you. But I'm right now putting a hedge about your soul and your spirit, and I'm asking God to see to it that he purges you from everything that's useless of that education, and but yet use it for you to be a messenger and a vessel of his truth. Because I'm not against theology. I'm not against, you know, getting education. I'm hot on education. But what I will tell you is that you have got to have a strong Bible foundation, because most of these theological programs will pull you out of Christ.
Right.
Okay? So, hey, keep me posted. Definitely let me know when you graduate, because I'm excited about that. But once, as soon as you can, you get in your Bible and you start reading your scripture the way God wrote it, because the theology is going to give you a discipline and a study, but the scripture is going to give you the man, Christ Jesus, who is the author of it all.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes, ma'am.
Keep me posted, beloved.
I will.
Okay. God bless
right.
you.
Thank you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ashley.
Yes, yes. Okay. We have here. Sorry, here. We have next on the line, Monica from Maryland. She wants prayer for herself and her family. It's going around today.
I know. It seems like folks just, you know, actually it seems like people are like, well, I don't know what's going on, but life around me is crazy right now. So
that's
let's
right.
We take the crazy out. Okay, Monica,
right.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Just need prayer, really, I do.
Just need prayer. Well, I'm just going to go right to the prayer board with you, because sometimes we just need that. Father, thank you for Monica. Thank you, Lord, for the journey that brought her even to me today, to the sound of my voice today. Now, God, I'm asking that you would step into her heart and step into her life to answer her prayer regarding herself and her family. Lord, she needs direction. Lord, she needs clarity. God, I'm asking that you would deliver her from the fog that is stalking her. The 20 seconds of clear, and then I don't know. God, take indecision out of the midst of her soul and begin to order her steps that she can walk in your truth and in your life. Now, God, I thank you for letting her know that she is not the keeper of the family, that she's got to turn them over to you. But I do ask, God, that you visit that household with healing, with forgiveness, with mercy, and with understanding, as well as restoration. These I send into your household today in the holy name of Jesus Christ. And, Father, I thank you for pulling Monica up out of the doldrums, sending her back up on her feet, Lord, outfitting her with the whole armor of God and connecting her with wise sage counselors and an advisor who will give her good direction and good instruction in you that will bring her closer to you instead of pushing her farther away. And I'm asking you to do it, Father, in the omnipotent name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you too. Ashley, who's next?
Okay, we have, just in time, our last caller today is Pamela. Now, you spoke with Pamela several weeks ago. She's calling from Atlanta. She's going on the trip to Brazil. And
yes.
You were praying with her about the business contacts and everything. Well, that trip is coming up, so she just wants an extra splash of prayer. And also, she has a friend with Alzheimer's that will be having a caretaker while she is out of town, and she would just like prayer covering that.
I agree. Well, Pamela, I thank God for you. I ask him to continue to cover you. I'm glad to know your trip is coming up. You've got to be excited.
Yes, I am. Very much so.
You should be, because it's going to be a tremendous trip. God says grand things. Expect grand things to happen. That's the word he's using, grand things. So, Father God, I thank you for Pamela. I thank you for her upcoming trip. I'm also asking you, Father, to to begin to minister to her even from today forward, what she's going to meet and what she's going to encounter. And Lord, as you said to your apostles, God, put in her mouth, put in her heart what it is that you want her to say and speak. Lord, every connection that is in your will, let it be. But every one that would distract her and frustrate her, and every false door and false opportunity, Father God, I'm asking that you would close it and shut it down and let her not even know about it in Jesus' name. We cover her with the blood of the Lamb. We thank you that, Lord, only your agents will take her and bring her back safely. We thank you, Lord, that only your agents just handle her luggage, handle her accommodations, handle whatever it is that she takes with her, secure all of her possessions, even getting through customs with ease and getting back with ease. God, I thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. And while she's absent, God, I thank you that you station an angel in her place who's going to watch over her, the person with Alzheimer's. I thank you that your angel is going to take care of everything that concerns this person, and that this will be a peaceful time for them as well as for Pamela, in the omnipotent name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Because my friend is with me now, and she's been listening to the prayer call, and she said we should go to the conference in June. She's like, let's go.
Yes, let's go. And I want you to come in June. And but let me know when you get back, because I want to hear some of it. So at least write to my Facebook and let me know what happens.
Yes. All righty. Thank you so much for your prayers. Godspeed.
Okay, you too. A wonderful. So, Ashley.
Yes.
So are we done? We have no more calls?
Well, we have the time factor. And so what we're going to do is I want to make an announcement that you are going to be in the Joliet, Chicago area next week.
Yes.
And for everybody in the area, the surrounding area, who can make it to Antioch Christian Assembly International, to please be there. It's under Apostle Nona Parker. Of course, I have a 30-second announcement to give everybody the contact information and the details for how to get in touch with them. Dr. Price will be going up to honor Apostle Nona Parker for her years of 13 years of service, in ministry. And it's going to be a celebratory weekend. Dr. Price will be ministering Friday and Sunday. Saturday, there is a dinner. All kinds of things are happening. We're dressing up. The team from Tulsa is driving up to Joliet. Of course, Dr. Price will be flying. And we expect you to show up and to come out if you are in that area. Rearrange your schedule. Make the press. Make the change to be there. Believe me, if you know it's powerful over the phone, there is nothing more exciting than seeing Dr. Price in the flesh. The woman is on fire. And see, I can say it. She won't say this about herself, but I will. She is dynamite. God moves through her. The word breaks the chains off of you while you're sitting there in the pew. The praise and worship is happening. You'll get a prophetic word through the message. I mean, she'll just be teaching the word of God. And you'll say, that is my situation. So be there, be there, be there. And then the weekend after that, we will be in Memphis, Tennessee. And Dr. Price will be with Dr. Daphne Rankin at a Watchman's prophetic conference that weekend. Also, if you are on our mailing list, you will be receiving the emails with the information. So if you are in the area, you can contact these ministries. If you're in the surrounding area, the state, several hours away, make the drive, make the press. It will change your life. There are people reading books and seeing doctors. I can't even tell you the testimonies Dr. Price has had where people have said, but you have delivered me in one sermon. I have been seeing a psychologist or a psychiatrist for years, and this message has literally snapped that devil off my head. Dr. Price has a statement. She says, I'm going to educate your devils off. And I thought, well, I feel educated and free, so I guess that's true. So make it a point to be there. We have this 35-second announcement about Dr. Price being in Joliet. We'll also have a commercial coming to you soon about the Memphis trip. And then following that, in our closer, you will hear how you can support and donate to the Paula Price Show. The work of the Lord, you know, there are a lot of elements you don't have to pay for, but broadcast is not one of those things. And you do have to pay for the broadcast. We want to be able to reach a wider audience. Many people are coming out of the woodwork saying, how can we support this work? How can I give on a monthly basis? And that information is also in these next two announcements coming up. So make sure that you invest and you sow into this next dispensation, and you are the first partaker to recognize the pearl of great price that God has given us. I love that, pearl of great price, Dr. Price. Ha, okay. And so that you tap into that and connect with that today. Don't let another day go by where you are not investing or sowing into what God is doing, because I don't know about you, but I want to be the person to say, oh, yeah, I knew Dr. Price when. Oh, yeah, I've been backing this for years. I've been sowing into this for years. And to know that by your backing and your donations, people literally around the world are being changed. There are people who can never make it to Tulsa, but they will be able to hear Dr. Price every single week because of you supporting what she is doing. She says every week, I want to partner with you. I can't do this alone. And so we believe that wholeheartedly, and we want you to tap into that. So here's the announcement about Antioch, and then the announcement, our 30-second closer, so you know how to plug in and stay plugged in, but how to keep this word going around the world. God bless you, and we will hear you on the call next week.
You are invited to join Dr. Paula Price in the Chicago area April 19th and 21st at Antioch Christian Assembly, where she will be celebrating Presiding Apostle Nona Parker in honor of her 13 years in ministry. That's Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, April 21st at 2 p.m. For more information, contact Antioch Christian Assembly International at 815-727-0122 or email info@antiochcaci.org. Thank you for joining us on the Paula Price Show. If you would like to attend one of Dr. Price's upcoming events, book her for your own event, purchase products, or take a ministry assessment, visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com or by phone at 877-419-1299. If you like what you heard today, become a Paula Price Show supporter for just $15 per month. That number again is 877-419-1299 or visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com.